In over 20 years of sharing her knowledge on how to live a balanced life while pursuing a spiritual path, Supreme Master Ching Hai often spoke of the teachings of past masters during her public lectures and international gatherings with our association members. Throughout the ages, compassionate, enlightened masters have urged people to surrender to the greater universal power by seeking the divine within, from which all other goodness and happiness follow. In celebration of Prophet Muhammad's birthday, we invite you to enjoy a compilation of lectures and discussions by Supreme Master Ching Hai entitled The Wisdom of Prophet Muhammad.
Prophet Muhammad always tell people to eat vegetarian. We can find the evidence everywhere in the Quran. He even tell his cousin not to eat it. Ali, please don't eat that. Don't eat the animals. You know, because the animal quality will come within you. Don't eat that. Don't eat that. Even that. But now, you know, people don't question that. You see what I mean? So, it takes a really sincere mind to question the right and the wrong. You have to be a little smart and take a little time. No matter how busy you are, you have to take time to understand the teaching of the old prophets, of the old enlightened masters. Otherwise, we just follow. We don't know anything. And at the end of our life, although we are very, very devout Christian or devout Buddhist, and we truly wanted to know Buddha nature, and we truly want to be one with God, but we wasted all our human life doing nothing, finding nothing. This story is about a holy man who deals with his desire, yeah, and who deals with temptation. It goes like this. A holy man, one day, walking through the shop, yeah, in a shopping center, maybe supermarket, and he saw a grocery in which they sell beautiful fresh mangoes. Wow. His mind urged him to buy some and to enjoy it. Yeah, of course, like everybody else. So the holy man was trying to tell him that, no, you don't need mangoes, yeah. You don't have enough money to buy it to start with, and you don't need it. And you are a holy man, you just eat whatever you have, and you don't desire anything else. But would the mind listen? The mind doesn't listen. Never mind. The holy man went back to his cave, continued to meditate. But all night long, all he meditated up was the fresh, luxurious mangoes. You know everything. How come? Were you that holy man reincarnate? We all know very well the trick of the mind, yeah? Okay. So he was so tired and exhausted, sitting there fighting with his own mind. Okay? Fine. So he went into the jungle next morning, still defeated and exhausted by the fighting with the mind the whole night through. And he went and chopped some wood, yeah? And then with a lot of wood, he carried it all the way from the jungle to the shopping center. Wow, it's a long way, many kilometers long. Originally, he went there just to get some necessity for the whole week, you know? Yeah, to his cave, like some bare necessity, like maybe some flour for chapatis, yeah? And just some salt, just simple, yeah? So he carried the heavy wood load to the bazaar, which is a very long way, many kilometers. You know, holy men in India, they live up in the mountain somewhere, yeah? In a cave somewhere. And to go down to the mountain, you know, to the bazaar, it takes a long time. They mostly live far away from it all, because that's what they want. Yeah, but then it's inconvenient when you want to have something, huh? Okay, nevertheless, he carried a heavy wood load down to the mountain. And then he's very tired and exhausted. But he doesn't give himself rest. He keeps telling himself, you want the mangoes, you work for it. Now you carry the wood and you don't complain. And the mountain road, you know, very difficult. But he made himself do it. Okay, there you are. He came down to the mountain at last. He sold the wood, exchanged it for money, and bought some mangoes. And then he went back to his cave in the forest. And he put it on the stone in front of his cave and he said, okay, you just look at it, okay? Because I know you very well. He talked to himself. He said, his mind, he said, today you want me to buy you mangoes. Tomorrow you will want something else, yeah, a melon, and the next day, who knows, you might want to buy a house, and then you will want me to have a wife to take care of the house, and then that's it, finish of my story, end of my life. I know what you want. That's what you want, hey? I'm showing you. That's not going to happen. Okay. Because come the wife and then the children, yeah? Yeah, and then the birthday, and then the death day, and then the marriage of the children, and then the grandchildren, and the marriage of the grandchildren, and forever. Never done. Never done. I will be then your slave. Yeah, at the end of all this. So he just telling that. And then when he was talking to his mind like that, person was passing by his cave. So he called him, hey, buddy, take the mangoes. It's yours. So, of course, the traveler was, you know, hot and thirsty. And, oh, I mean, really, are you sure, sir? Oh, yes, oh, I'd be happy to take them all. He took them all. Yeah, even eating some of them in front of the holy man. Wow, poor holy man, must be mouth-watering. Ah, oh, poor guy, he worked so hard. He should have deserved it. You know, at least he go and cut wood, no? But he doesn't want to do it again, huh? Suppose next day he want apple, huh? And then he have to go cut wood again, huh? And then just by the habit of following the desire of the mind, who knows where it leads him? There's another story about the prophet and the devotees. Okay. One time, when Prophet Muhammad was talking with a group of disciples, he asked every of them in turn, what they possessed, what is their possession, what do they have? Yeah. So one of the disciples by name Hazrat Umar replied to the Prophet, oh Prophet, I have a wife and many children, camels and so on and so forth. It took him a long time to list all of his possessions. Yeah, maybe camels and then coconut tree and palm trees and date trees and, you know, what else, you know, house, hotel, room for rent, whatever, yeah. Take a long time, okay. All of the others made similar replies until the turn of one disciple by name Hazrat Ali. He said to his master, oh master, oh sir, he spoke out, he declared his love for the Prophet. He said, my only possessions are God and you. Except for these two, I have nothing worth of mentioning. So the Prophet Muhammad was explaining his teachings through the answers of this disciple. He was well pleased, I guess, yeah? Saying that worldly possessions count for very little. We have them for a short time only. They do not go with us to the world beyond. Attachment to them leads only to pain and suffering as we are born again and again to satisfy ourselves because of the desire for this, which had not been fulfilled during our lifetime. Yeah, because we have more, then we're more attached to them. And they give us comfort and, I say, pleasure and stuff. And when we die, we wish we have not enjoyed all of them yet, you know. And then maybe at that splitting moment, our soul left the body with the desire. that we haven't enjoyed all our possession. And then that's how we come back to life. I mean, physical life, again and again, transmigrate and suffer, yeah? So that's why the prophet say that possession only leads to suffering and transmigration. This is the lot of those who love the ways of the world. But those who love God and are always engaged in the contemplation of their beloved transcend this region of births and deaths. Well, the one who wrote this thinking it's just a matter of understanding this simple truth. Is that simple? Yeah? Yes. Simple, but not simple to carry it out, huh? Yeah, I told you about the story of, what the name of that? That square, that triangle stuff? Samosas, yes. I was addicted to samosas at that time. Well, but you have to know, I had very little money at that time. And mostly I eat just chapatis and sometimes some cucumber. Yeah, chapati and peanut butter. Yeah, just to keep the body still alive. So, of course, you know, when I pass by the samosa, wow. That is something out of that world. So most of the sage, they also prefer to live in a mountain and remote area because of that too, no? Perhaps, yeah? What you don't see doesn't hurt you, right? Doesn't tempt you. It's truly like that. You won't get nothing being selfish. We only get blessing when we are selfless and noble and consider others before ourselves. Treat everyone similarly, always in a good manner. Consideration, love, respect. You like to be a good manner, noble, elegant, pretty? Beauty doesn't always come from the face or the body. Beauty from inside. There are two kinds of beauty. The beauty from inside is always everlasting and always endearing to everybody. So you see all the masters, especially in India or Taiwan or Chinese, the old time, they have hair all over, they don't shave, they don't wash their hair long like a hippie, and their hair are up to their feet. And they're wearing not too much clothes, or don't wear at all, or wear very shabby clothes or anything. They don't look like the model that lives in Monaco or something like that, no. But people still flock to their feet and love them, adore them, and die for them even, if they have to. During Prophet Muhammad's time, people had war with whoever in the authority or the religious establishment of that time. Because some people were willing to die for the Prophet, and they do it in defense, not because they wanted war. Least of all, the Prophet had never told them to go on war with anybody. But sometimes they want to defend for their children, or their brothers and sisters, their family, when other people like religious zealots or authority figures go and harass them or try to kill them, then they try their best to defend. And in the defense, maybe both sides get hurt, or one side get hurt, or they will die. Not that the Prophet expects them to die for him, or not that he has ever ordered anybody to go out and fight in the war. Just things happen naturally. So what I mean is, we have to be beautiful inside out. I want you to be beautiful everywhere and anytime. So everywhere you go, people will have respect for you. And then whatever you say will have effect. People will listen. If you're acting like anybody else, no matter what kind of good teaching you tell, I don't think people even want to listen. We could go to heaven, come back, go to heaven, come back.
Ülkenize gelip burada bir suç işlemediğim sürece istediğim gibi kalabilirim. Tekrar geri gidip yeniden ülkenize dönebilirim. Aynı şekilde cennete de bu şekilde gidip gelebilirim.
But we don't go with the physical body. We go with the spirit.
Ama fiziksel bedenimizle değil, ruhumuzla gider geliriz.
Just like when you sleep, you leave your body, you don't even know the body exists. Sometimes you have dream, you think you go somewhere. Some people even sleepwalk. And similarly, we could consciously leave this physical temple for a while and go contact the spirit in the spiritual world with our same spirit like their spirit. And the angel will take us there if we know how.
Aynı şekilde söz gelimi uyurken fiziksel bedenimizi bırakırız ve ruhsal olarak rüyalar görürüz, hatta bazen yürürüz. Aynı şekilde yine cennette de göksel katada gidip gelebiliriz. Bizi melekler oraya götürür, merak etmeyin.
The reason the prophet told us to contemplate, to pray to God 5 times a day is that if you pray hard enough, long enough, many times, there's a chance that you might have a glimpse of heaven, or that you might be calm enough so to contact the angels or the messenger of God, the invisible one, yes. And then they will take us to heaven. They will show us the way. But we must calm the mind. We must forget the whole world while praying. That is the real, real prayers. That's what the Prophet Muhammad did in the cave. He calmed his mind, he forget everything, his possession, his wife, his world, his success, his money, everything. He forgot his body. And that's how he can elevate himself to the level of angels in spirit. And that's how he can contact the angel in spirit. And that's how he can get the message from God. The same we have to do, we can do.
Sizin peygamberiniz Muhammed'in size günde 5 kere dua etmeyi istemesinin nedeni, eğer yeterince uzun, yeterince sık bir şekilde dua ederseniz gerekli ruh haline ulaşıp, gerekli sakinliğe ulaşıp bu cennet kapısına gidebilmenizi sağlamaktır. Aynı şekilde sizin peygamberiniz dağa çıkıp kendisi her türlü fiziksel varlığını, karısını, paralarını bırakıp gitmiştir oralara.
And that's why God sent other prophets, our prophet Muhammad, to tell people that this is the way. Don't do that. Don't do this. Do this. Yes. The prophet came to show an example. Like, okay, you have to still your mind. You sit quiet, alone. Don't have to go in the cave, but in your small cave room. And make it a cave. Make it a complete reclosure for yourself. And then you pray, truly God will hear and you will hear God. God always hears, just we don't hear. So now it's our problem to steal our mind, to discard all the nonsensical thinking all the time in the mind so that we can hear the voice of the messenger of God, like the prophet did. He came to do that. He's a prophet. He didn't have to do that. But he did that to make an example that to contact God, we have to steal the mind.
Peygamber size bu yüzden örnek olması için gönderilmiştir. Kendisi bir peygamberdi, bunu yapması gerekmiyordu. Ama size örnek olsun diye yaptı. Siz de onun gibi bir mağaraya gitmeniz gerekmiyor. Odanıza gidip zihninizi dinlendirin ve ona ulaşmaya çalışın. Emin olun o sizi duyuyordur, duymayan sizsiniz.
That's why in the Quran it is said that all religions belong to God anyhow. Yes, the first page.
Şunu da söyleyeyim ki bütün dinler de şunu söyler, bütün dinlerin aynı Tanrı'dan geldiğini.
Because why? Because when people pray sincerely to God, doesn't matter in which name, he knows that is pray to him because he's God. He doesn't discriminate. Why don't you call my name Mr. So-and-so? Oh, you have to call my name this. No, he's God. He's a father. Yes.
Tanrı size ona verdiğiniz değişik isimlere aldırmaz. O sizin kendisine seslendiğinizi bilir ve şöyle demez, ayrımcılık yapmaz. Bana bu isimle seslenin, bana böyle isimle seslenirseniz size ulaşmam demez. O babamızdır.
If you call him Almighty, he's good. If you call him Allah, he's happy. Because Allah means also Almighty in English.
Ona isterseniz Allah deyin, isterseniz Kadir mutlak değil. İstediğinizi deyin.
And Buddha means enlighten, it means God in English. Just we did not translate, and we make so much trouble.
Buddha da İngilizce'de aslında aydınlanmış, yani yaratıcı anlamına gelmektedir. Bu çeviriyi yapmadığımız için karışıklık olmaktadır.
Christ means the power of God. Same thing.
Yes. Mesih de yaratıcının bir elçisidir.
Right, I guess we should have only one language.
Sanıyorum hepimizin tek dili olsa daha iyi olurdu.
We thank you for your gentle presence on today's Between Master and Disciples. Animal World, our co-inhabitants, is coming up next on Supreme Master Television. Please stay tuned. With heaven's blessings, may all beings on our beautiful planet coexist in peace, love, and happiness.